Michael, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So the potential statelessness of these kids has been described as a, quote, human time bomb by the Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council. It's a big call, but how extreme are the ramifications of not being recognised as citizens going to be for these kids?
Well, I mean, these kids come from, you know, populations which were the Sunni population in Iraq. And so, you know, they were under kind of areas controlled by ISIS for about 4 or 5 years. And the problem is, you know, of something like 1.8 million IDPs that's still in Iraq, and of them about 800,000 children, these are ones who don't have documentation. And the documentation, as you say, is either ISIS or because they lost them in, you know, war situations where people lose their documents. The consequences are pretty serious in terms of not having access to healthcare, education, or being able to travel. And the consequences long-term are just permanent marginalization, you know, in the country. And, you know, the whole report of the Norwegian Refugee Council is asking the question, you know, how should they be regarded? You know, should they be regarded as kind of a danger or as victims?
And if they were to move forward in trying to regain documentation, how difficult is it to then get a birth certificate that would be recognised by the Iraqi government?
Well, I mean, the Iraqi government has been kind of positive in its attitude to try and deal with this. But, I mean, it is extremely complicated. I mean, first of all, there are four different cards that you need to have. So you need, you know, kind of a whole combination of cards to do with civil identity, nationality, a distribution card and a housing card. You need to actually be able to return to a place where you came from. You need often a sponsor. You need to have kin that are there and people who speak for you. The problem is these groups are already stigmatized, particularly the ones that are coming at the later stages, in other words, that have been under IS rule for the longest time. And people are kind of ambivalent about whether they're going to help them or not for their for being implicated themselves, you know, under kind of, you know, counterterrorism laws or other restrictions about association with ISIS. And then the other problem is, you know, there's a security list, and you could be on a security list, which is a big barrier. People pay bribes to try and get off those lists. So there are many different kind of factors which are kind of acting against them. Another major one is many of these kids don't have fathers, you know, and the mothers have to prove that, one, the kids belong to them, and that, you know, their fathers are dead. And that's an issue of proof, which is extremely difficult. In any way, if they're dead, were they ISIS fighters? Should they be on the security list? You know, it's a very, very complex situation.
Do you think it would be worth the authorities considering that these children should be put under a different status to their parents or families, or is that going to then move forward and create even more divisions?
Well, I mean, look, it's a possibility. But, I mean, I think the present situation is one of being entrapped. And if you maintain a situation of marginality, then, you know, there's going to be no long-term resolution. To basically remove them from their parents, I'm not sure, or their mothers particularly, I'm not sure it's going to be very kind of constructive in a society which is so based on family and kinship networks.
And I know it's a difficult question, but is there any, I suppose, path that is looking most likely that the government will take when it comes to this?
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like this is a very difficult problem. That will take a long time. You know, this one of the problems is this attitude. Do you know, people have a right to legal identity, or are we so fearful of what the implications are of incorporating these people? I mean, that's a kind of a global attitude. I mean, to foreign fighters returning from this region anyway, it's not going to be resolved easily. And I mean, what's more is the situation hasn't finished, because you have the return of Syrian Iraqis who went to that area after, you know, the collapse of these IS in Iraq, returning as well. And there's another 30,000 and they're having similar problems with them. Are they going to bring them back to Iraq or not? And at present, it looks as though they're going to be trapped on the Syrian-Iraqi border, about 30,000 people in internment camps. So it looks like there's going to be a long-term situation of many people living in internment camps in Iraq and Syria.
It's a really difficult topic. Michael, we do appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.